Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Podcast. Thank you for having me, Joe.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. I am Joe Posnanski, and with me is Michael Shore. Michael, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
You're welcome. It's the draft podcast. We are drafting something. Have we decided what we're drafting? I don't even
know. Yes, we have.
Oh, we have a topic. It's actually going to be a fun draft. We're going to have a draft here in a couple of minutes. We are keeping this thing to 30 minutes right now. I'm telling you that up front. 30-minute podcast.
Sure.
And so the first 10 minutes we are going to spend answering questions. So let's keep our answers short, peppy, boom, right? Here we go.
Pithy and to the point.
It's totally pithy. All right, here we go. And some of these questions, I have to say, people asked us that we've already discussed on the other, on the Mothership podcast. So
right.
We should probably skip those questions, don't you think?
Sure.
Okay.
Here we go. In the name of being pithy.
Here we go. Corey wants to know, how long until Ohtani doesn't win an MVP?
He's not going to win it this year.
He's not going to win it this year. Yeah. That's
0 years. Judge is going to win it. Ohtani, it will entirely depend on where he ends up. If he moves to the NL, things change. He might not have as good a year, whatever. If he stays in the AL, he's probably going to here's a better question. When he retires, how many MVPs will Shohei Ohtani have won? What's your prediction?
3.
I think that's probably right.
Three or four.
3
sounds right. But again, who knows with him, you know? I mean, like, he's so good, but it's like he's of his own category. They're like, it's
yeah,
he's
there's
never
no comp.
I don't think he's ever going to be, I don't think he's ever going to win a Cy Young. He could, I don't think he will, and I don't think he's ever going to be the best hitter in the league. It's always going to be
no. What's remarkable about him is that he's like the 17th best pitcher and also the 14th best hitter,
which is unreal, unreal thing, but it's his own category, nobody else is comparable.
Right.
In that way, so it's going to be interesting.
It also may entirely depend on whether the Angels are ever, or any team he plays on is ever any good.
It won't be the Angels, so hopefully hopefully go somewhere else. All right, David says, my doorman's name is Farrakh Shanghai. Does this meet Mike's threshold for first place, for first name, place name, making a funny name?
Yes, 100%.
Farrakh Shanghai?
Yeah.
That's a good name. It's a
that's
funny
a great name.
Name.
No, that's I don't think it's funny. I think it's cool.
It's a cool name.
My thing about last names that are geographical locations is that it's not funny. It's cool.
Right.
Like
right.
Joe Montana. That's a cool name. Duncan Idaho. That's a cool name. So anything that ends in Shanghai. Yeah. That's a character from like a Blade Runner sequel. That rules.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. All right. Josh wants to know, why do they do a champagne celebration after every round win during MLB playoffs? Shouldn't it just be after the World Series like the rest of the sports?
This is a great point. And I think you should be able to celebrate after you win the pennant and the World Series. And that's it. You should not be able to celebrate if you win a divisional round or a wild. I mean, I suppose if you are, let's say this. If you are the wild card team and you defeat a team that isn't a wild card team, I think there should be a wild card exception where you should be allowed to celebrate.
See,
but if you won the division and you beat a wild card team, you don't get to celebrate with champagne. It's absurd.
See, here's what I think. I think it should be like anniversaries where each round it's a different liquid.
Oh, great idea.
So the
wild card round is still water. Round is sparkling water. Then it's like Mountain Dew or something.
Yeah, I was gonna say it. Probably some
or Gatorade,
soda.
Right?
Oh, could be Gatorade. Yeah,
be Gatorade.
But is Gatorade what's between sparkling water and champagne? Ginger ale, right?
Ginger ale or 7 Up Sprite. Wait, so this is your best idea ever. This is the best idea you've ever had. I'm serious. It should be like, this is the official decree. This is what we're allowing.
Okay, here it is.
Same in the NFL. Same in the NFL.
Right. Exactly.
Wild card
right.
round, divisional round, conference championship. Yeah.
Okay. So here it is. First round, water.
Still water.
Still water. Maybe just from the faucet. It's not even like.
That's for the
water.
Wild card play-in game. Right. That's the wild card play-in game is still water. You still just dump water over each other.
That's
heads.
Right.
Yeah.
Then if you win, what it was, that next round would be the division series.
Right.
And the division series winner would be
sparkling water.
Then the I guess you are we at the NLCS?
I guess we're at the CSs now. So then you go to.
Right to ginger ale, Sprite.
Ginger ale, Sprite, 7-Up. Any of your clear flavored beverages.
Right. And then you win the World Series.
You win the World Series.
That's the only time you get champagne.
This is the best idea you've ever had. And I celebrate you.
Here it is. This made the whole thing worthwhile.
That's it. We've solved it.
It is pithy. Wicket the Walk wants to know the good question. I think, are grapes too big nowadays? Like
no.
You will go to the,
no,
no they can't get no. too big, no. but you go to the store sometimes and those grapes are huge.
Yeah. But you've got a variety, man. You know, yeah. they're not forcing giant grape. Big
they're
grape
not.
Is not forcing a size increase on us.
Well, they're just offering it.
They're
saying.
Offering it. If you right. that's your if that, those green guys get enormous sometimes.
Huge. Huge.
But no, I'll say this too. We recently got some blueberries at a farmer's market and they were like the size of my fist and I couldn't have been happier. They were just the biggest, most insanely huge blueberries.
Oh,
and I think
are great.
The best. And
yeah,
I think
blueberries that, not so good.
No, not so good. I think that there's a as long as there's a variety, you're fine.
Okay.
You're fine.
As you just long choose, as, choose, as, yeah, long as you, there are options, is what you're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah. As long as there's options, you're fine. Right.
Let's see here. CP wants to know, is Trot Nixon a made up name?
His real name is Christopher. His name is Christopher, I think Trotman or something.
Is that right?
I could be wrong, but it's definitely his real name is Christopher and his nickname is Trot. So yes, in that sense, it is a made-up name. But am I crazy? Did I make this up? Is his middle name Trotman?
It is. Christopher Trotman Nixon.
All right. I know my early 2000s Red Sox.
If you don't know them, who will? Who will?
I don't know if Trot Nixon knows that his middle name is Trotman. Trot Nixon skipped like one of those 10-year reunions for the 2004 World Series team when, you know, they reunite the team. He skipped one year because his kid had a Little League game. He was just like, sorry, I got to go to my kid's Little League game. And I was like, that rules.
I like
that. That's cool,
that.
Man. Yeah.
I like that. That yeah. team had some characters. That team was
it did.
Like.
He also wants to protest one of his players getting hit with a pitch. He swung at a pitch, intentionally missed, and threw the bat at the pitcher. That was somewhat less cool.
That's not as cool. Not as cool. All right. Let's see here. Looks like Aaron wants to know. Dennis Rodman says he's going to Russia to try to free Brittany Griner. Which member of the 1980s Detroit Pistons would you trust most for this diplomatic mission? That's gotta be Joe Dumars. It's
yeah.
not even close, is it?
Well, wait, you're saying like late 80s? So
yeah, like the Bad Boys.
Not the Rip Hamilton team, because I would say Rip Hamilton.
No, Rip Hamilton's late.
That's much, yeah, he's the
yeah,
he's
no, this
the
is the Isaiah,
team.
Joe
this
Thomas.
This is the Vinny Johnson team.
Vinny Johnson, Rick Mahorn.
Joe Dumars is a good.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're not sending Bill Laimbeer.
Well, it depends. Like, that team was a bunch of intimidators. I don't think intimidation is going to work on the Ruskies right now. So I think you need someone with a good head on his shoulder. So
yeah.
Dumars seems like maybe a good choice.
You know who would be the worst choice?
Dennis Rodman?
No. Worse than Rodman? Isaiah. I think Isaiah would be an even worse choice.
If Isaiah Thomas went to try to free Brittany Griner, it would end up with Brittany Griner's sentence doubled and also Isaiah Thomas in jail. And also Joe Dumars in jail somehow.
And also somehow the Knicks would get some terrible player.
But well, really what would happen is it would end up with Isaiah Thomas coaching the Knicks.
That's right. That's exactly how it would work. All right. Was Mike's recent trip to Islay? Is that how you say the
Isla? It's pronounced Isla. Yeah.
Isla. A pilgrimage inspired by Nick Offerman or perhaps research for a future project. I don't even know how this person knows all about this. Did you tweet about it?
I was with Nick Offerman
Yes.
I talked about it on the Mothership. Head goon Dan Le Batard. I was with Nick Offerman. They in the sense that they make me do everything that I do for them. Yeah, under penalty of personal injury or at the risk of harming one of my family members.
Of course.
I was with Nick Offerman and some other folks, and we were indeed, we went to the Lagavulin distillery, which is on that island, and it was a great time. I had a wonderful time, took some beautiful photographs, which I shared with you,
What a gorgeous place, my God.
Wonderful. If you ever have the ability, which is asking a lot, but if you ever have the ability to tour those islands off the coast of Scotland, they are stunning.
Incredible. Wow. Wow. David Moore wants to know, it's not a question, but it is a question. Which would Mike rather happen? Okay. Two options.
Okay.
The Sox grab the third wild card or the Yankees fall out of first, but still make the postseason. So basically, the Red Sox miss the playoffs and the Yankees are in the wild card spot. But if the Red Sox made the playoffs, which they are not going to, by the way, the Yankees would win the division. That's basically your two options.
I know that what I'm supposed to say is that I would rather the Red Sox make the playoffs, but I've been watching this team for 121 games and they stink and they're not going anywhere. They're not going to suddenly get good.
No.
So I think it would be more beneficial to me. The third wild card is like, forget it, man. You're not going any.
Even if you're good, but they're not any good.
They can't. No. They don't like who. Tell me the pitcher they're throwing in that wild card game, and I'll. I mean, you know,
Chris Sale. I mean, come on, everybody knows that.
Chris Sale. One of my stats of the day for the Mothership head goon Dan Le Batard podcast show was a Chris Sale has more broken bones this season than starts. Did you know that? He broke his rib in spring training, and then he broke his pinky on a comebacker in his second start. And then while he was recuperating, he broke his wrist or whatever in a bike accident. So he's broken three bones and has started two games.
That's not a good ratio. I mean, I don't know that much about the game.
Ideally, you want the ratio there to be way, way lower. So I think I would actually say that the Yankees falling out of first means they're on the road more, and they've been a bad road team.
And
this
it would look, it, we all
it
know
would be
it's
funny
a,
too,
right? It would be funny. It would be funny to see them drop out, especially because every time I've said they're not dropped, they're going to win that division. People have brought up your 2011 Red Sox, you know,
2011 Red Sox and the 78 Red Sox. And there's a lot of precedence for teams with like 15 or 16 game leads in June. Not a lot, but there are some, and they're memorable. So it would be a memorable and funny thing if the Yankees didn't win their division, which they're going to. They'll be fine.
All right. Last question as we go on to this thing. There's actually quite a few here, but Ben, I'm going to give it to Ben Weirs. Ben wants to know, as a Padres fan, what did I do to deserve this?
Boy, I wish I knew, man. I'm really sorry.
Dude,
We talked about this yesterday or in the earlier podcast. About that knucklehead Fernando Tatis Jr. And I'm really sorry. I feel really bad for Padres fans, especially because, as you know, when I have no rooting interest in sports, I root for the teams with the most tortured fan bases. So in baseball, you're talking about the Padres and the Mariners and the Guardians. Those are the three teams that have the most, I would say, have the most tortured fan bases. Padres and Mariners have never won the series. That's Guardians haven't won it since 48.
Yep.
I mean, is there a more tortured fan base in sports than those in baseball?
Yeah, because in sports you can point out a few, but
in sports you go the Lions and you go
the Browns,
the Browns,
and look, the Bills in their own way. I mean, right. You know, certainly.
But in baseball, it's those three, right?
Yeah, I think it's those three. I'm trying to think of even who, like the Brewers, I guess. Brewers have never won a World Series, you know.
They never won. They were in it, whatever. And I guess it's now 40 years ago. Yeah, so the Brewers are up there.
Brewers are right up there. So, all right. Well, we feel bad
but
for
you. The point is, I feel bad for you, and I wish this weren't happening. And I want to believe that your future is a lot brighter.
There's a lot to like about that team. There's a lot to like. All right, it's time for our draft. We are drafting. I guess the way you would describe it is the teams. In three sports, we are not going to do a hockey, in baseball, football, and basketball that we care about the least either way.
in any direction.
In any direction. So we don't like them. We don't dislike them. They are as neutral can be. Right?
Yes. If you graph your feelings about a team from negative 100, which I hate more than anything, the Yankees,
right,
the Ravens, the Cowboys, that era.
That's right.
All the way to plus 100, which is the Red Sox, the Celtics, teams like that.
Right.
These are the teams that are literally at zero. It's perfect body temperature, salt water that you're lying in, where you're in a sensory deprivation tank, and these teams give you zero feelings or emotions in any direction.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will, I'll start, and I'm going to go to see. And here's the problem: is like
you already have a problem
because teams, like certain teams, get players that you like or dislike or whatever, and that does alter.
That makes you feel something.
But you don't still feel anything for the team. Like, but it's that thing. So I'm going to start off with the Minnesota Timberwolves. I have literally no feelings. That's not a bad team to watch. They're kind of interesting. We actually had a little segment here called "Are the Minnesota Timberwolves Good?"
Yeah,
yeah.
The Timberwolves, are they good?
And we determined they were, and they made the playoffs and everything. It's like seeing a stranger on the street. I wish them no ill. I wish them no ill, but I
you
also
have no
wish,
feelings about them.
I have no feelings for them whatsoever.
I like the Timberwolves. I'm into them. Ant-Man. I like Towns. I thought that they're them celebrating making the playoffs was really fun.
It was delightful.
You know, like in that play-in game. I'm pro Timberwolves. I have positive feelings towards the Timberwolves.
And you know how I feel about that? Don't care either way.
Don't care. I can't believe you left the most obvious number one choice on the board, which is the Orlando Magic.
Well, I thought about that, but I was like, you're going to grab them.
The Orlando Magic, I fundamentally don't understand how they exist or what their purpose is. They're very bad. I don't know how many Magic players I could name throughout history. Like, right. I guess I could go back to those Shaq teams.
The Shaq teams. Those are the only ones you'd be able to.
Right. Yeah. You could remember three or four guys from those teams. Sure. Nick Anderson missed some free throws in my memory. And that's it. But if they had won, I wouldn't have cared. I don't really care that they lost. And that was 30 whatever years ago. Now, I mean, every time I see their logo, I'm like, what logo is that? Oh, it's a Magic. Yeah, right. All right. They're just utterly, completely irrelevant. They are a tasteless wafer that I bite into and feel nothing about.
Yeah. No, there's nothing there. But look, it's Orlando too, right? I mean, it's sort of like it's just you know,
hot and sunny
and tourist
land,
yeah,
and
attraction. Yeah, that's essentially, yeah, it's a good pick. It's a good pick. I'm there. You know, a lot of these I think are going to be NBA. I think it's going to be
a lot of NBA teams on my list.
It's tougher to go with the NFL. There's
I only have one NFL team on my list.
Yeah, I'm actually going to pick an NFL team right now that I do not care about at all, which is I think. In some ways, it should have been my number one pick because the degree of difficulty of being an NFL team that you don't care about at all is like pretty
high. Yeah.
I don't care about the Atlanta Falcons. Don't care. don't have any interest in them whatsoever. Again, they went to the Super Bowl and it was like, okay, good. You know, that's fine. They were playing the Patriots and I was like, I'm rooting against the Patriots, I guess, but I don't really care if the Falcons win, you know. And then the Patriots came back, and I'm like, you know, that was like if the Patriots were playing a team I really liked, I would have been like, this is gross, I hate this. But I kind of didn't care that much about it. Like they're tough to care about. I don't care.
They're like a on that negative 100 to plus 100 scale. They're like a I'd say they're like a. +3.5 or something for me.
Okay, you have a little
they
bit of like
they range from a -4 to a +3.5. because I kind of liked the Dirty Bird when it was around.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
I kind of liked that weird team that beat the Vikings.
The Vikings in 98.
I kind of think Matt Ryan is underrated and has gotten a bad rap. That.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of...
Although I got to say, isn't Matt Ryan among the really good quarterbacks, the one you have the zero, you don't care?
Yeah, I don't really care. I'm not saying I care about them a lot. I'm saying it's like a plus three. Or whatever, but okay. I feel slightly more about them than I feel about my NFL team.
Okay.
The Chicago Bears.
Oh, see, this is that I like the Bears. Bears are like a plus 10 for me. They're so like there's so many problems. There's so many issues. It is funny because
this is my thing though, right?
Okay, go ahead.
They've been around forever.
That's right. That's right.
They should have some kind of identity to them. They haven't had an identity since the Walter Payton era.
Yeah,
since
85 was the last year they had an identity.
Every year they have like the seventh pick in the draft and they draft someone and that person is a total wash and their coach is like some random guy that you barely know named Matt. And then they stink again and they're 4-13 or 5-12 or 3-14.
Right.
And the next year they pick seventh in the draft and they pick another guy who washes out and they get a different coach whose name is Dave.
Yep.
And then
he has a mustache.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of talk about, and then like, I'll tell you this, this is why they're number two on my board.
Okay.
If you see on a Monday night or a Thursday night that the Bears are playing.
Yeah.
That's the game you're like, I don't need to watch this. I don't even a huge sports fan who like, this is the only game on. I don't care. Bears, Packers don't care.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is going to beat them by 40. Bears, Dolphins, Bears, Jets, Bears. Like, tell me the Bears game that you'd be like, oh, I've got to watch. Even if they're playing the Chiefs. And you want to watch like Patrick Mahomes, you'd still be like, it's the Bears. Like, who cares about the Bears? When's the last time the Bears had a good quarterback? Serious question.
Okay,
I'm
glad you asked me this question because I mentioned on the main podcast the other day, I saw Theo Epstein and we were talking a little bit about football because he had said that he was no longer a Patriots fan. And I said, during your time in Chicago, did you think about becoming a little bit of a Bears fan, kind of interested in the Bears? He said, I went to a few games, but their best quarterback is Sid Luckman.
Yeah.
And I think he's right. I think
Rex Grossman is better than Sid Luckman. I don't know.
Sid Luckman's in the Hall of Fame.
It doesn't matter. He played against like a bunch of plumbers who were smoking cigarettes.
Rex Grossman would not have done better against plumbers.
I just can't remember the last time that there was a star skill player that I cared about in Chicago. Like they had Allen Robinson as a wide receiver very good, but like quarterbacks, running backs, even like cornerbacks, they had Roquan Smith who now wants to be traded. I think like that, it just anyone who goes there, it's like they fall into a void. It's crazy. And it's like the Yankees being bad. This irrelevant.
It should
right?
be.
It's
yeah, like, I mean, they're the original NFL team.
They've been around. That stadium was built in like 1907 or something. Like, this is insane that they're this uninteresting and boring.
And they've had these incredible, you know, Walter Payton and Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus But here's the thing, like Jim McMahon is like a big deal still.
Yeah. Yes.
Still,
he was never good.
He was never any good.
He was terrible. It's wild.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see the Bears.
All right. I now have to run and pick up my daughter.
All right.
So we're going to push pause on this and I'll be back in 5 or 8 more minutes.
Perfect.
Many hours later.
And I'm back.
All right. Perfect. We're all good?
All good.
All right, so I think we're up to my third pick, and I'm kicking myself because I did not put a list together for this, and I'm looking now, and I'm realizing, oh, my gosh, my first pick has been there the whole time. With my third pick, I'm taking the Sacramento Kings. I not only do I not care about the Sacramento Kings, but even as a relatively active NBA fan, if you had told me that the Kings had moved somewhere else or like they, or they were gone or something, I would not have been, I would have said, no, I don't think that's right. But I would not have known that 100% sure. I just could not possibly care less.
The only thing about the Kings that makes them a, like a plus 0.4 for me
okay,
is how truly terrible they've been for so long. And right now there may be a slightly brighter future, which it's the tiniest amount of interesting to me. It's the tiniest possible subatomic level of interesting that they maybe have a couple guys who look like legitimate NBA players, which generally speaking, they've had no legitimate
NBA not
players
had
on their team
decade,
for decades. Yeah. But now like maybe like there's a faintest glimmer of hope for the franchise, which
that
makes them.
De'Aaron Fox is going to
yes,
be
like. Yes, the De'Aaron Fox. There's a couple guys on the team that now I can't remember because I don't care about the team.
Right.
But there's a couple guys where you're like, oh, okay. Maybe the Kings matter in the tiniest possible way in the next 5 years. But it's a good pick. Like,
yeah.
it's essentially the same. It's much the same as my third pick, which is the Charlotte Hornets.
There you go. But see, I live in Charlotte, so
right. Well, I don't care about them. I'm surprised you didn't choose them. Here's my thing about the Charlotte Hornets. Who is their owner? Do you happen to know off the top of your head who their owner is?
Well, Michael Jordan, their owner?
Michael Jordan is their owner. This should be one of the most interesting franchises in all of sports.
That's right.
Because the second greatest person to ever play the game and by far the greatest cult of personality the sport has ever seen,
right,
owns the team. And yet is there a more boring NBA franchise? Maybe the Kings are one and Charlotte's two, but I double penalize them in terms of how little anyone cares about them for the fact that they are owned by Michael Jordan and they're still so uninteresting. That is stunning to me.
Yeah,
that's like if Tom Brady buys a football team and and no one cares, or if Tiger Woods starts his own golf league
and
no one cares. Or like it's unfathomable. It's if George Clooney opened a coffee shop and no one remarked about it one way or the other. Like, this is insane that Michael Jordan owns an NBA franchise and they are the least bit interesting.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, you talk about like having a couple of players. I mean, LaMelo Ball is like,
yes.
Like he's really good.
Really good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I live here and I don't care. I have lived now in Charlotte for about 10 years, a little more than 10 years. I've never been to a Hornets game. Not even one game. And it's not one that I'm like, oh, I would never go. I'd go. I just totally forget
they
exist.
It just never occurs to you to go. That's right. What's so amazing.
Right.
And like, if you went, there's a non-zero chance that you would run into Michael Jordan.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I would say that it's like, on a plus minus scale, like what they should be versus what they are. I don't know if anybody in sports can match that, right? With being
what
owned
they should
by Michael
be.
Jordan.
That's exactly right. They should be one of, in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
One of the most interesting teams in the league. And they're, I would argue the least interesting team.
Yeah.
In the league.
They're unbelievably
truly wild.
Yeah. That is a wild one. All right. My fourth pick, I got to pick a baseball team at some point here. You know, there are three or four choices that are about equal, but I'll go with the Arizona Diamondbacks. I don't know who's on their team. Like every so often I'll click on them just to watch them play, just to sort of like, oh wait, don't they have players? And then I go and watch, and it's like, you know, Zach Gallen's like good. Madison Bumgarner's on that team.
Madison Bumgarner.
I know.
Again, one of the most interesting baseball players.
Yeah. And Kettle Marte's interesting enough. And Christian Walker's having a weirdly great year. And who cares? I mean, I feel bad for Diamondbacks fans, even though it's been a pretty, you know, it was a sweet start to their, you know, lives as Diamondbacks fans.
Yeah.
But you know, the summer is so ridiculously hot. You're in 120 degrees outside, and then you have this team that's just, who cares?
There's something about that stadium too, man.
Yeah,
that stadium is soulless, and
yes,
and it's like everything else in Phoenix or Tucson or whatever. It's just a Glendale. It's just this big sprawling indoor air conditioned shopping center that has no character to it at all. And they tried to give it some character a little bit.
Right. They were putting decorations in the outfield. They were trying
some stuff, but like, man, who was the agent? Was it Jeff Morad who took over that team a long time ago? Wasn't there an agent became the president and GM?
Oh, I think that's right. Yeah.
Was it Jeff Morad? Yeah. And it was like the second that happened, it was like, I don't know.
It was
why.
Kind of a, by the way, you can name, I assume, the Diamondbacks manager.
Can I?
Is it
Gabe Kapler or
no,
something?
No, here's the great thing. It's not, the reason I asked that question was not to stump you, but he's been their manager for 5 years. Like, he's one of the longest standing managers.
Is it I'm not gonna look it up. I'm gonna do this. Is it what's his name? He I can picture him.
Yes.
This is gonna kill me. Is it I can't remember.
All right, giving it up. Tori Lavullo is
Lavullo. God damn it. I was like Jeff I was thinking of the Nation of Tuvalu. Like, what is that's why am I like
why
I,
are you
it was,
of that?
I was on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
He was a very highly sought after. He was a bench
coach. He was
coach.
And he might have won a manager of the year.
I think he did.
Years.
Like, he was the guy who was like,
he was manager of the year.
This guy's like next. It was like a big deal that they got him, because he was like everybody wanted that guy. He was he was a very well respected bench coach, and it was like a big deal that he took that job, and he just disappeared into an ocean, but
they're not firing him. Like, they lost games last year. Yeah, just keep him up there. Let's go.
I'm so angry I didn't get that. All right. So you're picking the Diamondbacks. I will also pick a baseball team, and I will go with the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
Regret for Brandon, who works for the team. I just can't summon the energy or strength to care one way or the other about literally anything that happens to the Texas Rangers.
Right.
That ballpark is, again, kind of soulless. It was like built
in
soulless
before, and then they built another one.
They built another one that's also soulless.
Yeah.
And they got Corey Seager, and I immediately forgot Corey Seager exists. I don't know if he's had a good year or a bad year. I don't know if I know he was kind of bad and then maybe was getting better, but I don't care. Like, I just, their unis, they have one thing going for them. I think something like a plus 0.007 on our scale.
Okay.
Which is their powder blue throwback unis are kind of
very
cool.
Nice. Yeah.
I like those.
Yeah. Cause you could see Charlie Huff in them or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, exactly. Yeah, it's like Jeff Torborg or something. Jeff Burrows. They remind me of Jeff Burrows.
Jeff Burrows. First, there you go. MVP,
but,
74.
But man, there's just like the Angels would have this slot if they didn't have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani.
Ohtani.
It's like this.
Yeah.
It's like a boiling hot weather. Something about the hot weather, I think, is really a key part of this, where it's like everyone who plays for them looks like they're kind of miserable because it's like 110. And they're always like, at the end of the year, they're always like 77 and 90.
Oh yeah. Oh,
five
yeah.
Or whatever. Like, they're just always, or 85, I guess. They're always like, they're not bad enough to be interesting. They're not good enough to be interesting.
No.
They're just nothing.
But I got to tell you, when they went to the World Series, they weren't interesting. There was you just went to those games and it was like, okay. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, and look, it doesn't help that they're in a place where I'd say day two people have lost interest and they've cared about the Cowboys. I mean, it's like, like, they're so, but
Cowboys
the,
mini, how much more does Cowboys minicamp get covered in the Dallas Arlington area?
Honestly,
than the best thing that happens to the Rangers.
I was going
to
say, honestly, let's rank them. So interest levels, Cowboys 1, Cowboys 2, Cowboys 3, right? They're like, University of Texas is definitely ahead of
way, them. Way higher.
Way ahead. Way. The Mavericks are probably ahead of them.
Much higher.
So I would say
I would say SMU football might be higher in that
might
area.
Be higher. There's enough Texas A&M Aggies there that they might be higher.
Plenty of Aggies yeah. fans. And Texas, and I would throw in Texas Tech, and I would also throw in the rodeo, and that's not a joke. I would say the rodeo is probably.
How about the Stars?
Covered Stars, yeah, the Stars have been good. Haven't
Stars
they?
Have been good, yeah.
Yeah,
I think in the past.
I would say the range in terms of sports.
The Rangers are like, I would say Rangers are tied with hating Oklahoma. Like,
yeah.
Being anti-Oklahoma fans and the Texas Rangers.
No, I would say hating Oklahoma is higher than
is higher on the list.
Yeah. I would say like rooting it, watching Oklahoma and rooting against Oklahoma is probably a more passionate exercise than rooting either way for the Rangers. I would throw in Houston Texans. There are probably more Texans fans in Dallas and Arlington than there are Rangers fans.
I'm going to throw a name at you of a very, very good player, and I'm going to ask you how many times you've thought about him this year. Okay.
Okay.
You ready?
Great. Yeah.
How many times this year during the season have you thought about Marcus Semien?
Twice.
I would say. When he signed.
The first time was when I read where he was going, and the second time is just now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that is a void. That you are just walking into a
is
void.
That, and Semien, you're talking about a guy who played in another country.
Yeah.
He played for Toronto, and he was way more notable than
and
he
Oakland.
Has been
Oakland and Toronto.
Oakland, yes. Yes, two black holes of media coverage and way more understanding and concern for him
yeah.
than there has been this entire year. Great call. Who else? Wait, they signed Semien and they signed Seager. But wasn't there a third guy? Didn't they sign a third guy?
No, I thought it was those two.
Two guys?
Yeah, I think that they're
if you told me right now that I don't
by the way, you know how when you click on like a baseball reference link, the link will change colors and be red every time you go back to it. It's some, you know,
sure.
My Texas Rangers is blue. I literally don't know that I've clicked on it all year. Yeah, let's see.
Woof.
Here. I don't think they got anybody else. I think those
no?
are the
all right.
those are the only two. Well, they have Nathaniel Lowe, the one that pronounces his name correctly, right?
Right.
There's not a Lowe. And a Lowe.
Yeah.
All right. So with my fifth pick. You know, we're now at the dregs. It's tough for me to pick teams that I just do not care anything about. But honestly, if I had to say, like, I don't really care about Portland, the Portland Trailblazers.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I just it's and there's nothing against them. They're good. They've been good. I don't. Again, if they got into the finals, I would root for them, I assume, because they haven't been there for a while and whatever, ever. But not.
I feel like the carryover from when they were really good has kept me interested in them to the point where, and then Dame Lillard kind of rekindled.
Yeah, I mean,
when Lillard hit that crazy sidestep 42-foot three-pointer in that playoff game, that made you feel something, right?
Because it was cool. Like I didn't care. Like if he had done that and he was playing on the Atlanta Hawks, I would have thought it was cool. Like
I thought it was cool because I felt like it was like, oh, the Blazers matter a little bit because he's there. Because he's so terrific. Good.
Look, he's terrific. And it's nothing even against. I don't know.
It just doesn't do anything for you.
Doesn't do anything for me. I just you know. And Portland's right. a wonderful town. And again, no ill will whatsoever. If they win, I'm completely not happy
sure.
or unhappy.
Right. All right. I also have a basketball team as my number five, and I'm going to go with the Washington Wizards.
Oh, this is a good one. But see,
Washington Wizards,
such a disaster, don't you think? They're like
don't know. Sure. Yes. I guess. Yeah. But don't care. Like there's exactly one thing that I'm aware of involving the Washington Wizards, and it's the John Wall contract saga.
Right.
Like that's the most interesting thing about that franchise for a decade, right? Since Jordan played for them for that one year. Like, what's the last interesting thing that the Wizards did in any direction.
They got Porzingis.
And then what happened?
Nothing. He went into the void.
Or did he not play well? Like, do you know? Do you care?
No, no. You know, to me, like, you'll talk about who the most underrated stars are in the NBA. The most underrated star in the NBA has to be Bradley Beal, because when is the last time you've even thought about Bradley Beal?
I feel so bad for that guy. Oh, like, my God. You know, he and Tatum grew up together in St. Louis and are like best friends.
Yep.
And there have been all these rumors that have linked them in the future. Maybe they're going to try to play together. I'll guarantee you this. If they play together, it won't be for the Washington
no,
Wizards.
It will not.
Because it's just unfathomable that anything interesting would ever happen to the Washington Wizards, like Jason Tatum signing there or a sign and trade or something to play with Beal. If they play together, they'll play for the Heat, or they'll play for maybe the Celtics, I suppose.
Yeah.
Or they'll play for the... Even I could imagine them playing for whatever, for the Bulls.
Right,
or
right.
For the Mavericks or the Pelicans or any,
exactly.
Like... a number of teams, the Knicks, who knows? But I promise you this, it will not be playing for the Washington Wizards.
What is the last interesting thing to happen to the Washington Wizards?
I honestly think it's that Michael Jordan came out of retirement and became an all-star. I think that's the last time that anything mattered in the world of the Washington Wizards.
And the funny thing is, I would say even Jordan's like most devoted fans, Those were sad years. Like,
oh,
they
it was
were
awful.
Just, this,
oh, it was terrible.
Awful. Yeah, no, it's
well,
like...
that wonderful book, the what is it called? Now I can't remember. When Nothing Else Mattered.
Yeah.
About that series. It's a wonderful book. I highly recommend it. And a reporter was happened to be writing about him owning the team when he decided to come out and play
right
for the Wizards. And it's an incredible psychological profile of a lunatic.
Of a person who
doesn't know how to stop doing the thing that he was good at doing. So anyway, that is, I believe, the last time that anything involving the Wizards was interesting or mattered in any direction.
I think that's right.
Did you have also rans on your list? Because
you know what's funny, because I had a few that I don't care about now, but like in the past I've cared about. So I didn't know exactly what to do with, like, you know, like I don't really care what the Pittsburgh Pirates do, but they play in a lovely little stadium and
yeah,
it's in Pittsburgh. And
I
it's
feel
like,
bad saying that about the
I know,
Pirates.
But do you care? Like, do you have
no,
any interest?
I actually, that's not true. I will root for, I want them
I want
to
them
succeed.
To win. I agree. Yeah. That's why I didn't put them on.
So that's the thing. If you
I
want
like
them to win,
them,
you
but
can't.
I
yeah.
kind of don't care. Cause like,
I think that baseball would be so much more fun if the Pirates were good.
Oh,
if
I agree with that.
If the Pirates ever did what the Mets are doing this year.
Yeah.
I think the baseball world would be delightful.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. So like if you're saying for teams that if they got good, it would leave you completely cold.
That's why I can't. Yeah, that's why I can't quite put the Kings on my list, because if the Kings got really good, I think it would be like, holy cow, the Kings are good. But like if the Diamondbacks suddenly got good, I wouldn't care.
You wouldn't care.
So I would put them. And if the Bears were good, I wouldn't care. If the Magic were good, I wouldn't care.
That's where I can't go with you on the Bears. The Bears got good. With like exciting players, like that city would be so
it's impossible.
Alive.
It's impossible. They can't.
Well, but that's a different question.
They're legally barred from signing exciting players.
Poor Justin Fields, man. Like the second he got there, they were like, "Yeah, here's the cemetery. This is where you'll end up right here."
Yeah.
You know, right?
It would not surprise me if Rob Johnson were somehow the quarterback of the Bears this year.
Is there another NFL team? Like that you had on your like potential list, because I was looking at
no.
so difficult.
No,
I don't care about the Vikings.
I because they're tortured. I want them to
win.
Yeah,
I see that.
The
yeah.
Vikings are and the Bengals same.
Oh,
thing.
Bengals,
the
I
Bills,
care.
Same
yeah,
thing.
No, I like. The
yeah,
Bengals,
like
yeah.
I either actively have positive feelings or negative feelings for every NFL
yeah.
team except the Bears. I don't care either way, but like every team, like. You can. It's very. I think football engenders
much more
passion.
You have negative feelings about the Arizona Cardinals?
No, I have positive feelings
oh,
about
interesting.
The Cardinals. Believe it or not, yes, because I feel like they have been given a raw deal. They've been bounced around. You know, they play in this
sure.
again. They play in this like soulless stadium, but I think they've had great, they got jobbed by the Steelers in that Super Bowl.
Yes.
Larry Fitzgerald is like the most underrated wide receiver in history, even though he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
They should have won that Super Bowl. That Super Bowl was theirs to win.
It was.
And so they have a little bit, it's the same thing with the Falcons, where I'm like, oh, they got screwed. Like the Falcons, I'm a Patriots fan. I feel so bad for the Falcons and their fans. And I don't like it when fan bases are tortured.
No, I agree with that. I don't like seeing fan bases tortured. I don't wish any ill will. I just kind of don't care. Mm. I think next time what we should do is go through every NFL team and put them on the scale.
Great.
There we go. We put them plus 100 or minus 100 on the scale.
Yes. Yes. So like Cowboys minus 100.
The Cowboys minus 100, Steelers minus 100 for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so we do this.
But the rule should be, the teams have to be, we should put a limit on, you can't have more than like two teams in every 10 units.
Oh,
you know
I agree
mean?
With that. That's good. Yeah.
So you can have Steelers and Cowboys negative 100, but then your next worst, it has to be no worse than negative 90.
Because I mean, what are you going to do with the Commanders? I mean, like, come on, like, let's see, you know,
negative 85 in that range somewhere.
By the way, we'll do this. And then what are we going to do? Just average our two, numbers?
Yeah, and my guess would be that we're both going to end up in the negative 50 range for the entire league. I mean, there are a lot of very hateful teams.
There
the
really
NFL.
Are, and like, not a lot of teams that you love.
My favorite team is a team that would be negative 100 on most people's lists. So, like, it's going to be
recommending them as a team for me.
Still believe you should jump on board. I really do. I think you'll love it.
All right, time for one last meaningless thing to end this meaningless thing.
It's one last meaningless thing to end this meaningless thing. We talk about sports and we draft things we know, like how beaches are terrible places to go. No hot fruit for Michael, no Diet Coke for Joe. The podcast, whoa. It's one last whoa.
And you go first.
My son plays baseball. I may have mentioned this before, and the grip on his bat wore off.
Oh boy!
Like it kind of like came loose, you know. So sure. Unsticky. So we had to get a new grip, which you can do. You buy a grip.
Super easy.
So you wind the grip around.
Yes.
Which we did, and then at the end, it's in his old the old grip was sealed with like this piece of black tape.
Yeah,
like
that way they do it in tennis racket, same thing.
Right. So I was like, okay, this new grip that we bought didn't come with black tape. Like, what is this magic black tape? How do I find this? So I went on Amazon and I just typed in like baseball bat grip black tape end of grip, and it just popped right up. It was like, yeah, here it is.
Wow.
Here's the thing. It's like this, and I've got it right here. I'll show it to you. It's just the roll of. It's black just... tape the sole purpose of which, I guess, is to seal off the end of a new baseball bat grip. And it's like there's a lot of it. I don't know.
I was
going
to say, how many
like,
bats is that like going to do?
50 yards of this tape. But I was just like, wow, I guess that's the answer is like you just they like it's called baseball bat grip tape or something. And it costs $5 and I bought it. And now I'm going to seal his baseball bat grip off.
There's something
like,
there's
what is the company that makes this? How many units of this can they possibly be selling?
I'm hoping that's not their number one thing, but maybe it is.
See, I'm hoping it is the number one thing, and they're somehow a Fortune 500 company with annual revenues in the billions of dollars.
We're the only ones who do it. We're only ones.
Look, if you we've got everybody over a barrel here. If you want to seal off the end of your new baseball bat grip, you got to come to us.
Where else are you going to go? No.
Where else are you going to go than Farvington's all natural baseball grip sealing off black tape company?
We're the only one, the only game in town. I love it.
All
right.
They should be the subject of massive federal antitrust investigation because they've cornered the market on the black tape that you used.
On the black tape that you used to seal off bats. Yes. All right. My one last meaningless thing. I mentioned on this podcast before that I was going to get an office and I did. I got an office.
Yes.
Which I love very much. It's just a little room. It's kind of closed off. It's great. But here's the thing. It's part it's not a WeWork thing, but it's part of like this larger office building. Okay. So there's like a receptionist at the front, and you know, there's a kitchen and like other things. So all these people around are doing different businesses and whatever. And of course, it's so stupid. Like these people are like, you know, they're therapists or they're accountants, you know, and I'm just in there like writing about like Wade Boggs. It's the stupidest thing, but it's fine. But here's the thing. At lunchtime, I order like a lunch, like just the Jimmy John sandwich or something, right?
Sure.
I order it. And 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, my phone rings and I answer the phone and it's the receptionist saying, Mr. Posnansky, your lunch is here. I cannot tell you how much joy that brings me. Like I have spent an entire lifetime, my life is so goofy and weird and not comparable with like all of these other people who have offices and jobs and real, you know, they do real things. So it's like this one little moment of success where I can get a phone call and they go, your lunch is ready. It's just, I don't know. Makes me happy.
I get it. It's a nice feeling.
It's a nice feeling, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I support this entirely. Let me ask you one question before we leave. The Yankees, who are, I believe I've mentioned before, I don't like the Yankees.
Wait, you don't?
I don't. I'm not a fan. They retired Paul O'Neill's number. What are we doing? How many years did Paul O'Neill play for the Yankees?
I'm going to look it up, but I'm going to guess 9. What do you think? 9 years, maybe?
Joined the Yankees in 93 and he left in 2001. So what is that?
Nine seasons.
Yeah, with 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seasons.
Look at that. What a guess.
Great guess. So nine seasons and, and some of them, you know, legitimately good seasons, you know,
yeah, he had some good seasons. He finished fifth in the MVP voting 1 year.
Yeah. And he had 1,000 OPS in the strike shortened season in 94, 96.
Yeah.
Right. So 99, he had an 812 OPS. But by the time that, you know, they went in 96, he was a major contributor to the team. They went in 98. He was in 99. He had an 812 OPS in 153 games.
He was fine.
19 homers. He was fine.
Yep.
2000. He had a 760 OPS. And
yeah. Less fine, but still all right. He drove in 100 runs. You know, that's
2001. He had a 789 OPS. He was a very good player, but retiring the Yankees, retiring his number. Am I crazy or is this a massive overshoot?
Well, here's the thing, that there are a couple of things about this. One, I guess because of his status, his vaccine status, like there was a whole controversy. Like he couldn't be in the booth to call games, but
it was insane.
Right.
It was bananas.
So it's like, so it wasn't just that they retired his number. It's like they went, whatever we have to do. I mean, look, like there are issues. There's going to be logistical problems.
We got to get this done now.
But no matter what happens, we have got to retire the number. All right, let's see here. It looks like there are, let's see, the first 10, then the 5 more, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So 23, 24 retired numbers. But I might get that number wrong. He might be like the 24th retired number.
He's the 23rd or 24th. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at the list and I got to tell you, he's the worst player on this list.
Yeah. Right.
By far, like, you know, like, I mean, other non Hall of Famers, Bernie, who was a better player than him, Guidry, who was a better player than him, Pettit. I mean, Pettit was a better player than him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, probably. And certainly for longer.
For longer, and yeah, much more in the Yankee thing. Elston Howard was definitely a better player. Was Posada a better player? Because his number is retired also.
Posada,
I think closer Posada's to a Hall of Famer than he was, and played his whole career as a Yankee.
Yeah, I mean, Pettit played 15 out of his 18 years for the Yankees. Yeah, Posada was a lifer.
To me, this is a new low. For the Yankees.
It's a very odd. I really don't get like who else on that team? Have they retired Bernie's number?
Yeah. Bernie's number has been retired.
So this is just like, we're going to celebrate that era and we're going to retire everybody's number. We're going to retire.
Yes.
Did David Wells get his number retired?
No, not yet. Not yet. David Wells. Well,
and
Cano won't get his number retired.
What about Cone? Did Cone get his number retired?
No David Cone. But, I mean, he played a little longer than those guys. But Clemens ain't getting his number retired.
I mean, I guess Wells was only on the team for like 4 years.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm saying most of those guys were not on the team that long. But, I mean, what? Just because you were on the team for that many years, you get your number retired? Like,
I don't get it, man. It's this. It seems like a real overshoot to me. Like a real, like,
Yankees. Like, it's not like the Yankees are short. If he was the Marlins, okay, Marlins retire his number, fine. He was fine.
If he played for the Rockies, you'd be like, okay. Like, let's get this done. But the Yankees, I mean, they're talking about, like, Gehrig and DiMaggio and, like, what are we doing? You know, like,
let's say you're a young player, okay, and you're coming to the Yankees and you're a top pick, you're the first round pick, and you crush it in the minor leagues. You just crush it and you get up to the big leagues and they're like, oh, we can't wait. You're going to be a superstar for us. What number do you want? And he goes, man, I've been number 20 my whole life. All I've ever wanted is to be number 20. I'm a Barry Sanders fan. 20 is my number forever. And they go, Paul O'Neill. No, sorry, it's retired.
Yeah.
For Paul O'Neill.
Paul O'Neill. Because a guy who played for the Reds as long as he played for the Yankees had that.
And it was like good for the Yankees, not great for the Yankees.
He was very good. He played for the most legendary franchise in the history of the game that has so many Hall of Famers and like heroes of the ages.
Like many teams will not retire your number unless you're a Hall of Famer. Okay. And then if you're not a Hall of Famer, like, okay, well, did you win MVP? No. Did you win a Cy Young? No. Did you do this? Did you do this? Look, he doesn't check any boxes. He was a four-time All-Star. He was a perfectly fine player. He was a very good player. That's it.
He was the fourth or fifth best hitter in the lineup that won four World Series championships. Yeah. Like he hit like fifth or sixth.
Yeah. Like it's like if Hideki Matsui had been better for longer. That's basically what it is. Just better for longer. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And I think he probably got his number retired in part because he had a penchant for
smashing
for like
things.
Destroying water coolers when he struck out. And like people were like, that guy's a gamer. You know, like, I don't know. I didn't mean to derail the draft podcast, but I just saw this again and it's been sticking in my craw.
Well,
like,
look,
you know what? It's like if the Red Sox retired Trot Nixon's number. Or
that's
something.
Right. It's like
he was very good, but
he was a fine player. But it's a very, the Yankees do that's very odd. It's just very odd. And I got to tell you, among the retired players, like the ones who are gone now, like, you know, your Babes and Mickeys and those guys. They don't want Paul O'Neill in their group.
Yeah,
like, they're like, what?
If Yogi
unretire my number, if you're gonna retire that guy's number,
is Joe DiMaggio looking down from the angelic cloud that he's sitting on,
where they're introducing
machine?
Him as the greatest living player?
The greatest non-living player is how he demanded player, they introduce him. The greatest non-living player in baseball. Is he going like, yes, Paul O'Neill and I are in the same monument park. Thank God.
We both, nobody should ever wear either of our numbers ever again.
We're the same. Paul O'Neill and I are the same.
Oh, all right. Another successful draft podcast. As always, Mike, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Podcast. Podcast.